Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Tuesday, October 22nd, but not just any Tuesday, another great saint we're celebrating today, the one, the only, Pope St. John Paul II, and he was such a media saint. If you have an opportunity, look up something online. You can actually go to our website at EWTN.com, and because we have all the documents there that are stored and archived, and it's such a great wealth of information, our website, as I've mentioned many times. But look up a document called The Rapid Development. It is one of my favorite, written by John Paul II. It's all about the rapid development of technology. That and his final World Communications Day, that he, a statement that he wrote before he passed in 2005, was called The Media, A Risk and a Richness. And those two documents offer such concise and beautifully written advice, insights on the media. The consumption of media, how we consume it as Catholics, and how we are also responsible to support good media and to stand up against false messages that are out there. He just got media. He just was such a media pope, and I just admire him so much and was blessed to have the opportunity when I was in the secular media to cover him several times when he visited the East Coast, New York and New Jersey. I was there working for the ABC affiliate, WXYZ Channel 7. And then radio, he came to Detroit more than once. And as a radio reporter, I covered him there as well. I just want to read part of the reflection from the Magnificat today. I actually read it on the air in the first hour of the program because I was talking about the importance of supporting Catholic radio. And just think of John Paul II and how he thought that radio was a great way to communicate, and it certainly is. He says, "You must be like the first Christians and radiate enthusiasm and courage in generous devotion to God and neighbor. In word, you must set yourselves on the path of holiness. Only thus can you be a sign of God in the world. Today, as never before, the Church has the opportunity of bringing the gospel by witness and word to all people and nations. I see the dawning of a new missionary age, which will become a radiant day bearing an abundant harvest. If all Christians respond with generosity and holiness to the calls and the challenges of our times." And he also talks about the fact of how the early Christians were able to spread the gospel without the means of communications that we have today, or even in John Paul II's time. Of course, he passed away in 2005, so it's been almost 20 years. And think about, speaking of rapid development, the rapid development that has occurred over the last 20 years in terms of media, especially on the internet. So in honor of John Paul II, if you haven't supported your local radio station or EWTN, what a great day to think about doing that, to keep us between your gas and electric bills. And continue to pray for Ave Maria Radio. We have our fall drive going on this week. We had a pretty good day yesterday, and I believe we made our goal for the first hour of Catholic Connection today. So I appreciate your prayers and prayers to the entire network and all of our affiliates. Okay, so what's coming up on the show today? Speaking of great radio and communications on EWTN, our very own Father Wade, Father Wade Menenes, who's fabulous. What a great teacher he is. Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic devotional, will be released in just 2 weeks through EWTN Publishing. So I'm so excited to have Father Wade on just to discuss our world today and why he wanted to do this Catholic devotional for men. So that's coming up. And another great man of God, my dear, dear friend, Lewis Brown, who's from Michigan, my home state. He's the executive director of Christ Medicus Foundation. And they are this week launching a policy agenda for religious freedom in healthcare. So two great faithful Catholic men joining us this morning, Father Wade from EWTN and Lewis Brown, executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation. So looking forward to both interviews. As far as the weather is concerned, right now they're looking at some big storms, but not in the contiguous United States. They're looking at Alaska, and they're looking at some other areas, Guam and those two areas, but it's pretty rough from what I understand. Elsewhere, it looks like it is going to be quiet. We've got some rain showers across the upper Midwest today, snow showers in the northern Rockies, and then we have well above average temps continuing over the central and eastern U.S. So that is the weather forecast. At 4 minutes past the hour, there's a ton of news to get through, so let's get started. Again, it is a Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024. Great to be with you again. Let's get started and get through the news on a Tuesday morning. Pope Francis publishing this week the fourth encyclical of his pontificate that will take place on Thursday, talking all about the human and divine love of the heart of Jesus. The title of the encyclical letter on the human and divine love of the heart of Christ, confirmed yesterday at the Vatican by the press office, and again will be released on Thursday, the 24th of October. As Kelsey Gessie with Vatican News explains, the Holy Father had previously shared his intent to publish the document at his June 5th general audience at St. Peter's Square during the month traditionally dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
It will be the fourth encyclical of Francis's pontificate. The Vatican press office announced it will be released on October 24th. In the document, the Pope calls for a change of perspective, challenging everyone to rediscover the heart, what he says is most essential, especially in a world marked by war, consumerism, and social and economic inequalities. The encyclical was originally announced in June this year, during the month the Church dedicates to the Sacred Heart. When Pope Francis first expressed his desire to write this document, he said he hoped it would lead to a greater reflection on how God's love could illuminate the road to ecclesial renewal and resonate with a world he said seems to have lost its heart. Dilexit Nos will also include reflections from earlier magisterial teachings and scripture, with the goal of reintroducing the Church to the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
As early voting begins in the state of Florida, the governor, Ron DeSantis, is joining a group of doctors in his state who object to Amendment 4. DeSantis arguing the measure, which would guarantee a woman the right to an abortion in the Constitution until fetal viability, he says is intentionally deceptive and vague.
This is something that is really a Pandora's box for bad policies.
He also called attention to the replacing of parental consent with notification, taking away a parent's right to basically.
The parent would be stripped of the substantive right to parent with respect to this one issue.
DeSantis warning that once the Constitution of Florida is changed, it is quite permanent, so when it comes to amendments, a default should always be no. Former President Donald Trump and Vice President Harris, as Mark Mayfield tells us, are hitting key swing states with just 2 weeks to go before the election.
Trump was in North Carolina on Monday to tour hurricane damage in Asheville.
We'll stop throwing our money overseas and we're going to let our country benefit. We're going to put America first.
On Tuesday, Trump will hold a rally in Greensboro, North Carolina. Meanwhile, Harris is hitting several swing states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, just to name a few. Most polls have them neck and neck in these key states.
A number of states, meanwhile, smashing their early voting records. In Florida, the Broward Supervisor of Elections says its website crashed yesterday morning on the first day of early voting.
This goes to show that the voters are engaged and everyone is rushing to the website to find out more information. We are hoping to break records today, the same way Georgia broke records for first day in-person early voting.
That spokesperson, Lisa Arnaud, Georgia, North Carolina, and Louisiana, among the states setting new records for the November election. Voters in more states can vote early starting this week, and they include Texas, Florida, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Connecticut. Vice President Harris's campaign declining a live interview with Elon Musk on X. That, according to billionaire investor Mark Cuban on CNBC, he said he told the Harris campaign he could try to connect them with Musk, who owns X. But the Harris campaign reportedly said they didn't trust that Musk would stick to the topic of the election. Musk responded to Cuban's comments, writing on X that he would be happy to have a live discussion so there cannot be any distortion. A man who was previously arrested for threatening a mass shooting at a San Diego elementary school has been charged again. Lee Lohr allegedly sending over 350 threatening emails over 6 months and had his original case dismissed back in December. Now, Deputy District Attorney Savannah Howe says new information shows that he had firearms, ammunition, and handwritten plans to attack nearby Shoal Creek Elementary School.
Our office takes these threats seriously, and we want the individuals who attend those schools to feel safe each day.
Lohr pleading not guilty to the refiled charge of making criminal threats. Prosecutors say the first case originated after he mistakenly believed his neighbor's kids went to Shoal Creek Elementary and threatened the school because he was angered by his neighbors complaining about him smoking outside. Some San Diego officials are outlining a drug prevention and anti-overdose program in schools. District Attorney Sumner Steffen says it's a teachable moment designed from kindergarten to high school students.
With drugs becoming stronger and stronger and more deadly, especially fentanyl.
San Diego's top prosecutor says more 12 to 17-year-olds are seen in San Diego County Hospital emergency rooms than any other age group when it comes to drug overdoses. Scott Pringle tells us jury selection underway today in the trial of Long Island Marine veteran accused in a deadly chokehold in the New York City subway system.
Well, the jury selection and the trial is estimated to take a combined 8 weeks. Prosecutors argue that Daniel Penny used unnecessary excessive force when placing Jordan Neely in a deadly chokehold on a subway train last year. Penny's lawyers say Penny went into action to protect the public after Neely was threatening passengers. The trial is expected to be packed with testimony. That includes police body cam footage of Penny's comments moments afterward and subway riders who were there. Penny faces manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide charges.
The NTSB says a helicopter that crashed into a Houston radio tower Sunday night was on an air tour flight when the accident occurred. Four people, including a child, were killed in that crash. An NTSB spokesperson said Monday the wreckage is a complex scene, so investigators are being meticulous in how they approach it. The helicopter taking off from Ellington Airport in Houston and struck the tower just before 8 p.m. local time. The crash brought the tower down, but no one was injured on the ground. Liam Payne reportedly had multiple drugs in his body at the time of his death last week in Argentina. A partial autopsy reveals the former One Direction band member had a pink cocaine in his body when he fell from his hotel balcony in Buenos Aires. Pink cocaine is a mix of a number of drugs that includes methamphetamines. He also had cocaine and crack in his system as well. He was only 31 years old. Michael Kastner tells us flesh-eating bacteria cases are on the rise in Florida following recent hurricanes.
That's according to state health officials who report several counties have seen a spike in recent weeks. There have been at least 74 cases this year so far, including 13 deaths. That's compared to 46 cases and 11 deaths for all of 2023. Health officials say the potentially life-threatening bacteria is commonly found in warm coastal waters and becomes more of a threat after heavy rainfall and flooding.
Officials in the Baltimore area say more than 40 people were hospitalized with food poisoning after they reportedly ate the same meal. Emergency crews from three counties responding to reports of multiple sick patients yesterday afternoon at a wholesale seafood distributor. 46 people were evaluated at the scene and taken to nearby hospitals. Fire and EMS officials posting on X that all patients were non-critical and the cause of the incident is under investigation. Andrew Whitman tells us disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has now been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer.
Word Monday that Weinstein has chronic myeloid leukemia. That's a form of bone marrow cancer. It's not clear what his condition or prognosis is. Weinstein is being treated while behind bars at Rikers Island. He pleaded not guilty last month to a new sexual assault count. Prosecutors are trying to combine that charge with the other sex crimes he was convicted of in 2020. That conviction was overturned on appeal based on questionable decisions made by the original judge, including testimony about allegations not part of Weinstein's case.
And with the holiday travel season just around the corner, most people say they're changing those travel plans because of inflation. Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman says many people are cutting back this year.
83% of holiday travelers are making adjustments due to inflation. That's pretty staggering. I mean, it's hard to get 83% of people to agree on anything.
Rossman says folks are picking less expensive destinations and hotels, driving instead of flying and vacationing for fewer days. The results of the Bankrate survey comes as the TSA is expected to finish 2024 with a record number of airport screenings. And finally in our news on a busy Tuesday morning, October 22nd, Scott Pringle tells us ticket prices to see the Yankees take on the Dodgers in the World Series, well, they are simply soaring.
The first two games of the best of seven series are in Los Angeles, and they will cost fans more than $1,100 for the cheapest seats known as the nosebleeds for one ticket. Meanwhile, in the Bronx, fans are looking at paying at least $1,200 for the cheapest seats for Games 3 and 4 at Yankee Stadium, and if necessary, Game 5. If the series reaches a Game 7 in L.A., right now the cheapest ticket is around $1,400.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Almost 15 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Coming up, looking forward to chatting with Father Wade from EWTN. He has a new book from EWTN Publishing, Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional. And we'll also speak with Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation. They're launching a policy agenda for religious freedom in healthcare. All of that plus you on a Tuesday morning, the Feast of John Paul II. Stay tuned.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
What a great day to talk with Father Wade, Father Wade Menenes from EWTN, a great missionary priest, awesome speaker and homilist. The book is Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional, being released actually in just a few weeks, November 1st, less than 2 weeks. Father, great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Teresa. Thanks for having me on to talk about the new book.
Wow, what a day to talk about this, being the feast day of Pope St. John Paul II, who was a strong man of faith, obviously. What prompted you, Father, to write a devotional for men, a Catholic daily devotional?
You know, that's a great question, because very specifically here, what I'm about to say, a daily devotional for men, specifically for men, males, is a genre of book that I believe we lack in our Catholic library of books, just speaking as a church. And so I wanted to contribute to that library in this genre of daily devotionals, targeting the men especially, regardless of their vocation or state in life. I wrote this book with the freshmen in high school and older, okay, in mind, whether single, married, widowed, a consecrated religious, priest or brother with a community or order. I included as well in my mind when writing this book, the diocesan priest, the deacon, whether permanent or transitional into priesthood, and even the bishop. So I wanted to cover all states in life, and I wanted to provide daily meditations that would appeal to each of those states in life.
Wow.
And, you know, we have in the church, we have manuals of prayer, books of prayer, spiritual manuals that talk about the reality of evil and warding off the devil. And those things are great. Those things are fantastic. But a man won't necessarily pick it up every single day. And I wanted a daily devotional. So that's the good news. The bad news is I only did 6 months. It's a 200-day daily devotional. Why did I do only 6 months? Because with my meditations and with the daily saints quote and the daily scripture quote that accompanies each of my meditations, it got to be, you know, 300 and some odd pages. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to make this into a six-month devotional. 6 months is 183 days, give or take, concerning the leap year, right? So I went ahead and rounded off to 200 days. So it's a 200-day daily meditation written for men. And who knows, maybe volume two will come out, Teresa, where I can finish up that that rest of the year, the other six months.
But they can always go back to the other devotions. That's what I like to do. I mean, I keep my Magnificats, for example, because I love the reflections and the stories of the saints, and I go back to them time and time again. This is so important. Oh, what absolutely. Are you seeing, Father, in your ministry as a priest, what men are facing today, say that they weren't facing even just maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and why this book is so important now?
Oh, boy, that's a great loaded question. You know, I think commitment is a major area that needs to be addressed with the guys. And this isn't only in regards, say, with marriage, but also with things like employment, jobs, commitments with friends, commitments with your faith. You're seeing your Sunday obligatory mass not as something that you do out of fear, but something that you do out of love for God, not out of fear with Him. And if there is a fear involved, hopefully it's a filial fear, not a servile fear. And so you want to commit to that love, but we see a lack thereof, and that was another impetus of my writing the book. You know, I think pornography is a huge issue, and I address that in the book in several of the meditations. You know, and how did we get here? You know, this is a whole nother show that maybe we could do. But you know, how did we get here? I like to sum it up thus. You know, you think in just the last 100-150 years. And you look at some of the main secular philosophers that existed throughout this past 100-150-year period, and you realize such things as, you know, the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, he emphasized human freedom, but he denied human morality. Sigmund Freud stressed instinct, which was fine, because humans do have an instinct, but he suppressed the spiritual that's tied to our rationality, you know, made in God's image and likeness. Friedrich Nietzsche glorified the individual, but he disdained the community. Karl Marx did the opposite. He celebrated or glorified the community, but disdained the individual and rejected individual rights. And then you have Charles Darwin, who was enamored with empirical science, which is fantastic, but he excluded the reality of metaphysics. So, you know, you sum all this up, and this is where we are today. 24 years in to the third millennium culture, and we see this in the secular culture. This is why I wanted to address both the spiritual and the temporal, the temporal meaning daily things, secular things, all right? I wanted to address both the spiritual and the temporal in my daily meditations.
No, it's beautiful, really. What a great resource, and what a great Christmas gift this would make, or maybe even a Sweet Estate gift for, ladies, your father, your brother, your spouse, your son. Talking with Father Wade, of course, he serves as the Assistant General of the Fathers of Mercy, a missionary preaching religious congregation. Know him well from his many books, his talks, and also his work on EWTN. Father, I find it very interesting, and we have about 2 minutes left before the break, that you see some of these campaigns, and I'm not going to be naming any names here. We can't tell people for whom to vote, but I find it very interesting that candidates who have been promoting the fact that you can be anything you want, you could be a man one day, a woman one day, it doesn't matter, your sexuality, are now putting out ads about being a man and having the guts to vote for whomever. All of a sudden, manhood matters when you want to get elected, but it doesn't matter, you know, before. And this is, it's just so crazy. And so a devotional like this, when you are in prayer every day, when you're reading the scriptures and seeing quotes from the saints, that is a great way to order your life and be able to see more clearly when you go out there and you're hit with all this nonsense.
Yeah, that's right. You know, this is why, you know, some of my meditations, for example, are on truth, quote, end quote, truth, faith and reason, virtue and vice, you know, rationality, you know, the intellect, the will, etc. And it's funny, these areas that you just mentioned, they apply, they're important, and they imply when we want them to apply, right? But otherwise, everything's a gray area, and it doesn't matter. Indeed, you can be whatever you want to be. And that's a problem. That's a problem, because that's very utilitarian. You believe those falsehoods, that's one thing that can be addressed, you know, as a different topic. But the fact is, you see them all as a gray area, and except when you want them to act otherwise.
Exactly.
Now you're being utilitarian, mm-hmm. and being utilitarian is very selfish, you know. And that's one of the topics that I speak about is utilitarianism and selfishness. When we use things, persons, places, or things to our own benefit without a proper thought of truth and without a proper thought of the other and how we're called to love the other. And I think that's a problem. Right. That's a big problem. You know, it's amazing, and I'm speaking in general terms now, but it's really amazing how quickly the insanity spreads, right? I mean,
yeah.
When a people become alienated from God, say, example, just from morals, they then become detached from reality.
Yeah.
And then from that detachment from reality, the descent into depravity follows.
Yep, and that's what's happening, and that's why this book is so important. More with Father Wade, and the book is published by EWTN, Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Man's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. We'll be right back.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. We already discussed in the sixth commandment the problems of sexual sins themselves, but what the Lord is teaching here is rooted in the word covet. To covet means to inordinately or inappropriately desire something or someone. And in this case, the Lord is saying to us that we are in no way to covet, to look with lust at another person, particularly our neighbor's wife, but others in general, and that therefore all pornography and things like that have to go, all entertaining of lustful thoughts has to go. And God can help us by His grace to do that. And therefore, in this commandment, He summons us to take authority over our thought life and our sexual passions. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Rush to the computer. Get a copy. Order it now. Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints, coming out November 1st from EWTN Publishing. Our own Father Wade, he is a very popular speaker, author, and host here at EWTN with the Fathers of Mercy. This is a beautiful book filled with practical reflections for men of every vocation. I got to grab a copy of this for Deacon Dom, although he's very, very faithful in doing a lot of great reading, obviously, his daily prayers. But I love having devotionals. I use them all the time. I use both the Magnificat, I use the Word Among Us, and then I have so many Bibles. I have a Catholic Answers Bible, I have, you know, the Ignatius Bible, I have the Women's Bible, but I go back and forth between them. I love having a lot of resources, but I really like the fact, Father, that you picked this specifically for men in all different areas, so there's something that will appeal to all men. I know that was on your heart when you put this together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting you make that point about, for example, like your husband, Deacon Dominic, already being very faithful. I state specifically, very specifically, in fact, in my introduction, that this book is meant to make stronger those men who are already strong in their spiritual life, and it's also meant to jumpstart those men who may not be so strong in their spiritual life. So it's not an either-or who my audience is, it's a both-and, you know, and that's an important point to make, I think. That it's written for wherever the man is on the spectrum or the scale of his fervency for truly, authentically living his one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. So I'd like to go through just some of the topics that I cover in the daily meditations.
Sure. You know, please.
The ones that are more spiritual per se would be, you know, the Eucharist, confession, the reality of the devil, grace, salvation, and how to draw more from the holy sacrifice and sacred banquet of the Mass. And then more for the temporal, you know, the daily stuff, quote unquote, that we live through and go through and just in our daily lives, again, whether one be single, married, widowed, a consecrated religious, diocesan priest, or whatever, doctor, farmer, lawyer, you know, it doesn't matter. Things like accountability, commitment, purity of intention, faithfulness to daily duty, which is a topic dear to my heart. Just being faithful right where you are. And don't make prayer your work. Make work your prayer, right? So faithfulness to daily duty, fraternity, camaraderie, and the like. And then, so there's examples of both the spiritual and the temporal. And then some topics that include both the spiritual and the temporal would be things like temptation, vigilance, custody of the eyes, etc. Repentance would be another one that we can consider both spiritual and temporal, because the repentance spiritually follows from something temporally we did that we shouldn't have done, right? So I really want it to be not an either-or, but a both-and of the spiritual and the temporal. And here's why. We are a body-soul composite, we human beings. We don't have bodies. We are bodies. And we don't have souls, we are souls. And so both need to be attended to, both body and soul. And that's why I wanted to really make this an emphasis of the book, both addressing both the spiritual and the temporal.
Now, and that's so important, too, because we were talking in the previous segment about how the culture now is like, well, the body doesn't matter. It can be anything you want it to be. It can be shaped to what you believe you should be. It can change from day to day, week to week, month to month. But that is a direct attack on the Imago Dei, the image and likeness of God. And that's so clear. I don't know how even the average person could not understand that, because how are we designed? We were made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, and our Savior came as a man. And he was, so this is why when we talk about this issue, this one particular issue, how things have just gone off the rails, and why a book like yours can help men especially get back on track. Let's talk about the saints, because I love the saints. There are so many great saints, and you mentioned that you have many quotes from the saints. What are some of the saints featured in the book, Father?
Oh, great question. I quote from St. Thomas Aquinas. I quote from St. John Chrysostom. I quote from St. Ignatius of Antioch. I quote from some of the great female saints like St. Therese and St. Teresa of Avila. I want to include some of the women saints that are very dear to my own heart, like St. Edith Stein, Teresa Benedict of the Cross, and her name and religion.
Love her.
Who died in Auschwitz. Great philosopher saint. Because these women saints provide a spiritual maternity, if you will, in their writings for the men, and they're also providing a Catholic sisterhood to the men who are reading them.
Cool.
St. Alphonsus Liguori is another one, the great founder of the Redemptorist, a preaching order, much like the Fathers of Mercy. My community is a preaching order. The list goes on and on. And then with the saints, quotes, of course, I include a daily scripture quote. So at the top of each page is a theme, okay, or a topic.
Mm-hmm.
For example, fortitude or courage. And then what follows in that title at the top of each page of the 200 individual days, what follows from that phrase or that single word topic, like, again, fortitude or courage, are the following three things in this order. The scripture quote, the saint quote, and then Father Wade's meditation, tying it all together to that theme, again, let's say, of courage or fortitude. I want each day to be a 3 to 5 minute commitment. There's a few days that are a little longer, like my entry on St. Joseph, the just man, and what that means for men, again, regardless of one's vocation as a male, how you apply St. Joseph's characteristics, the just man who never spoke a word in Scripture, how you can apply what we learn from him in Scripture, how you apply it to your own life, like being a good listener, right, when people are speaking to you. Little things like that. And so I wanted to include the scripture quote and the saint quote around the theme of the day, along with my meditation, which kind of ties everything together, because I wanted to show that continuity. I like to call it continuity, that the continuity of the 2,000-year history of the church, of her saints coalescing with scripture, and of scripture, you know, the divine word given to us by God, coalescing with the wisdom of the saints. And so that's why it was very important to me not to have a daily devotional, Teresa, with just a meditation, and that's it. That might make a reference to scripture, that might make a reference to a saint, but just have a meditation in and of itself, that was the only thing on each page was a meditation. No, I wanted my meditation, but I also wanted a very singular, specific saint quote and a very singular, specific scripture quote, a saint quote and scripture quote, which that meditation delves more deeply into.
I think it's great that you included so many strong, well, all the strong, all the saints are strong, obviously, but especially the ones you mentioned are powerhouses. Of course, you have Teresa of Lisieux and Teresa of Avila, two female doctors of the church, but I think Saint Edith or Saint Teresa Benedicta should be a doctor. Not that the church is asking me for my opinion, but I think someday she will be. She wrote so much on women and on men and how the women are designed differently than men, and we both have our places. I'm summarizing it very quickly, but what a great thing to include them. Father, where do we get the book? Only have about 30 seconds left.
You go to EWTNRC.com. RC, of course, stands for Religious Catalog, but an easy way to remember it is Roman Catholic. EWTNRC.com, and use the promo code BESTRONG, all one word, Be Strong, and order it online. It's pre-orderable now, Teresa, but it's deliverable to the home in the mail after November 18th, just in time for Christmas.
There you go. Great Christmas gift for the man in your life. Stand firm, be strong. A men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints sounds fantastic. Again, go to our catalog at ewtn.com-rc. Stand firm, be strong from Father Wade. Thanks, Father. God bless you. Keep up the great work, and we'll be right back on a Tuesday.
What do we mean when we say the church is the body of Christ? From the very beginning, Jesus shared with his apostles his mission, his joys and sufferings, and the mystery of the kingdom. The Catholic Catechism points out that Jesus indicated the intimacy of his union with his followers when he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you." When Jesus' visible presence was taken away from the apostles, they were not orphaned. Jesus sent them his Spirit. As a result, says the Catechism, communion with Christ is even more intense. Jesus mystically constitutes as his body all those brethren called together from every nation. The church is not only gathered around Christ, she is united in him, in his body. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
To vent or not? If I get it off my chest, then I feel better. I've got to vent. Is this so? It's old theory, somewhat like a catharsis. You've got to purge yourself of these emotions, and Lord help anyone who's standing in the way. It's old theory. It's inaccurate. Venting is generally not good for the hearers, and it's not good for the venter. Venting may be good for dryers. It's not good for people. When we vent, we become more likely to vent. And when we are more likely to vent, we are more likely to hurt and say things we shouldn't say. Careful on the venting. Better to think about what you have to say before you vent.
Welcome back. Hope your Tuesday is going well. It's October 22nd, 2024. Great saint today. So many great saints in October. Just crazy. Today is St. John Paul II. Pray for us. Lewis Brown is with us. He's a friend of mine from Michigan, does great work around the country and the world to promote life issues as executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation. And this week on Thursday, they're launching a policy agenda for religious freedom and health care. Lewis, good to catch up with you again.
Great to be with you, Teresa.
All right, so tell us about this policy agenda. Really important for religious freedom.
Yeah, right now, and I really appreciate you having me on so we can talk about this topic. Right now, as we've written and talked about, unfortunately, for the last couple of years, we're in the midst of the greatest attack on religious liberty and medical conscience rights and healthcare that we've seen in our nation. And it is happening at the federal level through some of the regulatory mandates under the Biden administration, attempting to force emergency doctors and other medical professionals to perform abortions and other unethical, objectionable procedures. But we're also seeing state legislatures in different parts of the country also attempting to trample upon the religious liberty rights and medical conscience rights of Americans, particularly Catholic medical professionals. That has a massive impact on patients and the whole country. But we're also acknowledging, we're starting to see more evidence of the reality that we know as Catholics, that religion, the exercise of religious faith in healthcare is absolutely essential to health and human flourishing for every person. And so this policy agenda for religious liberty in healthcare is not only an opportunity to call out the egregious attacks on medical conscience rights and religious liberty under the Biden administration and under some state legislatures, but also to talk about, on a positive, affirmative, balanced viewpoint, the urgent need for religious exercise, for more religious healthcare entities, for more people of faith to be engaged in the health and wellness of our country.
So this is going to be shared with staffers on the Hill, people, I mean, you're going to be reaching out to people in positions in high places, correct?
That's right, because we want to say, again, we're very aware and we want to be very sober about the attacks on religious liberty, but it's not just about defending our right of conscience for religious liberty. It's also about saying, if we really care, love, and want justice for the American people and their health and wellness, they need our people, as St. John Paul II said, or as the Polish people said, and St. John Paul II went back to Poland, we need God. And so there's extraordinary amounts of medical research and social science evidence that shows the central importance of faith and community, relationship with God, relationship with other people in healthcare. We need that. It's central to human dignity, and it's important for human flourishing. We'll be sharing that with both sides of the aisle. We'll share that with medical professionals. We'll share that with medical associations. We'll share that with policy staffers and senators and congressmen to say, in the next Congress, whoever is the next president, we vitally need to be aware of the importance of religion, religious exercise, religious liberty in healthcare.
Do you think, and by the way, we're joined by Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation. They're launching a major policy agenda for religious freedom in healthcare this week on Thursday, October 24th. Do you think most people on average are aware of just the kinds of threats that we've faced? I often hear people say, oh, well, that's not going to happen. We have the First Amendment. And my mind goes immediately to people like you and to people who are working for groups like the Beckett Fund or American, let's see who else. What we've got so many different lawyers firms that literally do nothing
American
but work
United
on. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And of course, yeah, right? I mean, think about that. People say that, but the First Amendment has been under attack, and so many of these attorneys who work pro bono for people. The sort of the Colorado Baker, for example, that man's, and the nuns, right? The Little Sisters of the Poor, they've been in court for how many years?
Right. No. The things that are happening right now are unthinkable, and sometimes the Supreme Court is coming to our rescue, but not every single time. And so we have the case of Idaho, where the Biden administration attempt to say that the federal emergency medical law that essentially says you have to treat people in hospitals regardless of inability to pay, the Biden administration used the federal emergency medical law to try to coerce medical professionals in emergency rooms across the country to perform abortions. The Supreme Court stayed its hand and waited to, you know, essentially kick the can down the road to consider the matter a little bit later. But the reality is that some of the regulatory actions of the Biden administration have not been struck down, and they are using federal healthcare regulations to coerce and mandate a social policy of abortion and other objectionable procedures across the country, and that's happening in real time. In America today, Catholic college students are self-selecting out of the healthcare profession altogether or out of specific parts of healthcare simply because they believe that they can't really be Catholic in the healthcare profession. That's unthinkable. You have medical students, nursing students, doctors and physicians that are going through some type of persecution across the country simply because of their belief in the dignity and the goodness of the human body. That's happening today and right now. On the trajectory that we're on, Teresa, depending on which way the political winds blow, we could have a world within less than 4 years in which Catholic health care is effectively illegal in the United States. It's possible. Yeah. Not mm-hmm. likely, but it's definitely within the realm of serious possibility.
Well, I don't understand. People need to realize that when we go to the polls 2 weeks from today, how important this is and everything else. And we can't vote with emotion. We have to vote with reality and facts and obviously pray through this and look at the teachings of the church. But
That's
when
right.
people sit there and say, oh, this won't happen, that won't happen, it's no big deal. I mean, my friend at the American Freedom Law Center, who's defending cases all the time, these are First Amendment violations that continually happen. And as you said, the Supreme Court, sometimes, they support us, sometimes they don't. But just the fact that we have to think about even going to court when we're supposed to be protected under the way, this democratic republic
right.
was founded, that's not happening.
No, that's correct. Because what we're still seeing again, you have in some states, you have state health departments, you have state legislatures, you have the Attorney General in California just sued a Catholic hospital essentially saying you have to perform abortions. This is the reality. And maybe the courts rescue us several years from now on some of these matters. Maybe they don't. But as the saying goes, sometimes the punishment is the process. The trampling of religious liberties and medical conscience rights in the United States today is a real thing. And what we also want to talk about, again, is all the social science research, all the medical research that I have seen clearly shows that the exercise of religious faith and religious convictions by medical professionals, having religious healthcare entities to serve and care for and love God's people in our country, is vital to health and human flourishing. It's vital to human dignity. It's vital to the sanctity of life for all of us. And so the one thing, the one essential that we really need for everything, which is relationship with God and the exercise of faith in our healthcare, is that which is being attacked right now.
Yeah, also, if you look at some of the states, and I think Michigan is one of them, our home state, if correct me if I'm wrong, but there are certain areas in terms of psychology or counseling, for example, that psychologists and counselors can't even address, such as a transgender issue, without the threat of losing their license.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think medical doctors that are in the area of women's health are very much under attack on a regular basis in many states in our nation. But I would also say, and I see this particularly with my wife who's about to graduate with her master's in clinical mental health counseling, the level of persecution and challenge that people of faith, people of goodwill that are in the mental health profession or that are studying or preparing or serving as psychologists is off the charts. It is very challenging. I spoke to a group of mental health professionals a few years ago, and these people were, from what I could tell, had political opinions across the aisle. They were all Catholic, and they looked beleaguered and besieged by what the culture is asking them to do and the harmful ways that the culture is asking mental health professionals to care for people falsely because of the woke ideology and other things that are rampant within the culture. So these are serious issues. I think the good news, Teresa, is that we have an opportunity to fight back against evil, to tell the truth, and to really care for our brothers and sisters in our country through Catholic medical professionals, Catholic clinics, Catholic hospitals, and this rejuvenation, this renewal that we're seeing in Catholic healthcare. One thing I wanted to share with you today really quickly, I'm at the National Press Club right now in Washington, D.C., and we're about to launch the Women's Healthcare Declaration to tell the truth and reclaim the narrative about women's health, about healthcare for pregnant moms.
Oh, good, good.
You can go to womenshealthcare.org. The declaration just went live last night. And we're so excited to launch it this morning at the National Press Club.
And I think you were also, and I was, you and I were both interviewed by Patty Armstrong for the article that she wrote about this, because agenda that's out there. Yeah, that's on the National Catholic Register website today. It's a really good article. Lewis, I know you got to run because you've got the press conference coming up. Thank you, thank you. Where do we find out more information before we let you go about the policy agenda?
Yes, go to ChristMedicus.org, and we will have a live stream also up probably at CatholicHealthAlliance.org as well.
All right, my dear. Thanks for all your great work. Lewis Brown is the executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, as he mentioned. Big press conference today, involved in another event, but on Thursday, a policy agenda for religious freedom and health care will be released. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. It's October 22nd, 2024. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
It's like the brides, you know, 10 were very, very fervent, and they had oil in their lamp, and they had oil, extra oil. Here were 10 that didn't, they had oil in their lamps, but no extra oil. Now the bridegroom is coming, and those who had just the oil in their lamp all went out. And they said, give me some of your oil. And they said, hey, we can't, lest we too run out. The first thought in your mind is, they're uncharitable. Why didn't they share? I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing. But see, when we die, my friends, when the bridegroom calls you and me, there's no more time to get oil. You've had 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You got to repent. You got to go ahead of time and put oil in that lamp.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. This is what John Paul II told young people in the year 2000. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is he who reads in your hearts your most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. Beautiful quote from St. John Paul II on this, the feast day for this great saint, of course, and pope who left us in 2005. I was saying at the top of the hour, really encouraging you to read some of his amazing writings, especially where it concerns the media, including his apostolic letter called The Rapid Development. And again, this is so important because he just summarizes the importance of media. And what he's talking about here is he's addressing those responsible for communications, but this is something for all of us to read because we have to be aware as consumers of information, especially in this time, 2 weeks from today, we have the election. So how are you using communications? What are you receiving? Where are you getting your information? The church talks about this extensively, not only in documents such as those written by John Paul II and other greats in the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Catechism, I quote it all the time, the segment on the use of social communications, about 5 or 6 short paragraphs. And if you read that, it really will open your eyes in terms of how the Catholic Church understands the importance of the media, but also the way we consume it, how we use it, how much we use it, what we're supposed to do with it. That is something that we're all responsible for as Catholics. One of my favorite lines in this document is where he talks about the media being the new Areopagus. And I'll never forget the first time I went to Greece and stood on basically the area, you know, in Athens that was the new Areopagus, or the Areopagus actually that St. Paul talks about, where he, right, spoke to all those people that would come there. The Areopagus was a place where they would meet in Athens to hear the news of the day, to find out what was going on. And so Paul attempted to use that opportunity to teach about, the unknown God, right? And it's incredible to me the insight that John Paul II had on the use of the media, because he truly believed in it. He also said an awful lot about radio as well, encouraging us to use the means that we have to make a difference. So I pray that you will take the time on this day as we celebrate this great saint to ask for his intercession, but also to read more about our responsibility with the media. And again, the rapid development, a great place to go, his apostolic letter. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao. Have a good Tuesday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.